Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
It's the Disruption Zone. Cameron Mills back alongside. Cameron Mills is looking for toilet paper, and he can't find any anywhere. TP.
Let's back up and tell the story. So yesterday, I run to the store. First of all, I'm not just running to the store to buy toilet paper. I want everyone to know that. There were other things on my list. Okay. But I went across the street. I'm not going to say which place. As a matter of fact, Leland, I even thought last night, like, I wanted to do one of these things where I wanted to take pictures of my experience and tweet it. And even that, I thought, you know what? All that's going to do is incite more of a panic from the people who follow me, which may not be many, but, you know, if they're going to get a sense that...
Wait, I did. I took a picture and I posted all over social media of the empty aisle at my local grocery store.
All right. Well, then, I mean, look, and I'm not saying anything wrong with that. I felt like, here's the thing. Everybody is hearing things secondhand, thirdhand. And to be honest, firsthand from media reports, right?
Right.
And they're panicking. And they're panicking in two ways three ways, I guess, that I've noticed. One, last night, I go across the street to buy some things at my grocery store. And as I walk in, one of the things I needed to get was toilet paper because I was out of toilet paper. Let's understand that, okay? And so I walk up to the toilet paper, you know, to the paper aisle. And there are plenty of paper towels. There are plenty of paper cups, plenty of paper plates and napkins. What there is zero of, and I mean, well, almost zero of. I found out later there was one little bit. But what there is none of, it's completely wiped out, was toilet paper.
Yep.
And there's one employee of this grocery store who is sitting there, and she's like, she kind of looks baffled. And she's sitting there looking at this, you know, at least half of this entire row with empty shelves. And I kind of jokingly said, okay, because I'm thinking, all right, the toilet paper must be in the next aisle over, right? Because again, why would there not be any toilet paper unless this grocery store just made a mistake
accidentally put in the dairy section.
Yeah. Or maybe they made a bad, maybe they forgot to put in the order.
Right.
And so I'm looking at this lady and I just say, okay, well, I ask her and I say, is this the toilet paper aisle? She goes, yes, and rolls her eyes. And I'm like, are you all out? She said, yes, and rolls her eyes. And then I think, wait a minute, why? I said, is this coronavirus reaction? She said, yes. She goes, people are idiots.
Right, right.
And I'm like, why is there no toilet paper? And she goes, I don't know. What is it? She goes, I guess people are just expecting to have to hold up in their houses.
Right.
And not have to go anywhere. And I said, well, do they not need paper towels?
Right.
I mean, is it,
do they not need food?
Well, I even thought this. I thought, okay, one of the biggest overreactions, and from what I've been told, one of the dumbest, and could be honest, one of the most dangerous moves that have happened, is that people have gone out and completely bought out all of the face masks.
Yes.
Right. With the thinking being that somehow these face masks are going to keep them, if they are in the presence of this virus, keep them from getting it.
Which they won't.
No, ma'am. And no, sir. That's not what the face masks are for. The face masks are for people who have the virus,
right,
or any virus thereof, from transmitting it to anyone else.
Yep. Yeah.
So by us going out and buying all of the face masks up, we're actually hurting ourselves.
Correct. It's the opposite reaction.
We're hurting ourselves with the overreaction anyway. Look,
yeah.
I don't know how dangerous this is. What I do know is this. Is that you and I talked about this before, Leland, and this is what bothers me about the whole thing, is that I have learned in the past 20 years to absolutely, under no circumstances, trust the national media.
Right.
And I'm talking about the national media Fox News,
yep,
the national media MSNBC, the New York Times, the anybody that is national, I don't trust them.
Right.
Because I think they all have an angle, they all have bias. The mere idea that there's anyone out there just reporting the news, as when you and I were growing up, there was the 6 o'clock news every night, right?
Right.
And it was all the news that you got. You got your morning paper in the morning, and you got the 6 o'clock news at night, which was the national news, CBS, ABC, NBC. The mere idea that anyone's just doing journalism, that they're just reporting facts, is I don't know who does that.
Let me give you an example.
All anyone seems to do is, from the national media perspective, is try to scare people.
Let me give you an example.
If they can keep us glued to our television in panic and worry, then their ratings go up. They can make more money.
Right.
That's the problem. And that's not just the problem with this. That's the problem, period.
Let me interject here, because I want to give you an example of this, because, and there's two reasons why the media is doing this. One, most of the media is trying to use this as an opportunity to undermine Trump. They have been wanting a recession. They have been rooting for a recession openly.
Yeah.
This is going to bring about their recession, and they're excited about that. That's number one. The other is profit that you just pointed out. But let me give you a perfect example. I opened up my Apple phone today, and you know, if you slide to the right, you get the news, right? The news of the day.
Right.
Here's the statement. Trump criticized for comparing coronavirus to the flu despite alarming death rate difference. And then it goes on to state that Trump's numbers suggest a death rate of 4%. This is factually incorrect, okay? Let me tell you this. There's going to be all kinds of up front, you and I are not doctors. Just want to make that clarification.
Very, very true.
We're not experts on this virus. I'm only telling you what I've read and what I've researched, and I want to make a caveat here. This can change because this virus is a new strain. So there are changes that could happen down the road. So I want to give that caveat. But here's the important thing. When you look at that, this is from doctors that I have talked to and doctors that I have read. Okay.
Yeah.
The vast majority, probably 80% of the people who get coronavirus, do not come down with any symptoms at all, or their symptoms are so mild they never report it. Which means the death numbers that we're hearing of anywhere from 2 to 4% are factually incorrect. But here's Apple News feeding me a headline to alarm me, saying that Trump is lying about the death rate. And now that gets fixed in people's heads, and then everybody freaks out and they go out and they buy toilet paper for some unknown reason.
I don't understand the toilet paper, but
okay, we're gonna have a psychologist on here on the Disruption Zone, hopefully tomorrow. To talk about the psychology behind why people are buying toilet paper. But the long and the short of it is that people are getting conflicting messages. It's causing them to panic. Then they see pictures of empty shelves. They go buy whatever it was. Because I was debating with someone on Facebook the other night, which was silly in and of itself. But she says, well, I think it's people are afraid they're going to be staying in their homes for weeks at a time. And I said, well, what are they going to eat? TP stew?
See, I think that's what the lady that's what the lady at this grocery store was indicating. That was her theory as to why people were buying up the toilet paper. And in the meantime, I'm looking at stocked shelves full of pantry goods that for some reason they weren't concerned about getting.
Right. Well, tissues. Okay. This disease doesn't cause this is an upper respiratory infection, not an ass infection. Okay. Yeah. So what people really need to be buying is tissues if they think they're going to get this. When I went in, the tissue aisle was fully stocked right next to the toilet paper aisle, which was completely empty.
Maybe. And let's venture a theory here. Maybe they're taking care of two issues with one purchase when they're buying toilet paper.
Maybe
that's the thinking. But I just look again, and you've already made our caveat for us, because the last thing I want to do with this conversation is incite any more worry or give out false information.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that the people that I've talked to, and I am talking doctors. I happened to go to the doctor last week for another issue I was having. I had a lot of pain in my foot, and so I went to see my doctor. Had to get some X-rays done. In the meantime, I see all of the doctors. Now, these are family medicine doctors, internal medicine doctors. And so I'm talking to all of them because I've known them all for years. And they're walking through the hallways, and I'm just bothering them and saying, putting my arm around and giving them hugs because I haven't seen them in a while. And I'm like, hey, tell me about this. I mean, what's the deal here? And they all start laughing. And they quantified and clarified, I guess, their laughter by saying, look, it's not that we shouldn't be taking this seriously. It's not that, there are people that will die from this, but they are still people with compromised immune systems.
Right.
Which is what happens to the regular flu every year. That's why they encourage people to go get their flu shots. Now, there's not a vaccine to this particular strain as of now. So that might be important. But the reaction here's my problem. I don't truly know. And let's go back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. And this is what makes me angry. I do not know the truth about how bad or how safe, and safe's the wrong word, but how maybe unbanned. I don't even know if that's a word. I don't know the truth about what this virus can do. Certainly don't know what it will do. What I know is I have absolutely zero trust for anything the national media tells me.
Right.
Zero trust.
Well,
and that lies the problem.
Let me just give people a rundown of what I have heard from doctors and what I have read. And again, we put this caveat in. We are not experts, but and things can change because this is a mutated version or a version of the corona. This big coronavirus has been around since the 1960s.
I think this is coronavirus 19. So there's at least been, as far as I know, by their naming structure, maybe there's been 18 other strains of this.
And it's related to those. This one in particular is very, very dangerous for elderly people with compromised immune systems. That's what you need to know. So if you have grandparents, tell them to stick around the house a little more. Tell them to avoid crowds. Yep. Bring them the stuff that they need.
But wash your hands.
Right. Wash your hands, bring them the stuff that they need. But if you're not in that, if you're under 60, you know, the first of all, it's not killed one single child, which the flu already has. So the flu is much more dangerous to children than the coronavirus. Right. Same for people between the age of, say, 15 and, say, 40. From 40 to 50, it could be a little more severe. From 50 to 60, it could be a little more severe than that. And from 60 over, if you have a compromised immune system, if you have diabetes, if you have immunodeficiencies of any type, that's where you got to actually worry. The symptoms are dry cough, runny nose, fever. That's the symptoms. That's what's so funny about the toilet paper thing.
Yeah.
There's no reason to buy toilet paper. You don't get diarrhea.
Yeah. Well, I get the sense that it's not, and that's what was so weird. I get the sense that it wasn't that they were preparing for diarrhea.
No.
It was that they were concerned about being shut in their homes and not having access or not being allowed or not wanting to go out into the public. But then therein lies the issue was, well, why wasn't there a run on everything in the supermarket? Why was it just the toilet paper? Because according to the lady, it was just the toilet paper.
Right. And it was that is anecdotally what I saw at my grocery store and what I'm hearing from other people in my community.
My frustration is again, it's not with these people who are buying. They're reacting the way the national media wants them to. Right. My problem is with the national media. And I'm going to be clear. It's with both sides of the national media. Sure. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. Our national media has become the biggest enemy we have in our country, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
They exist to incite fear.
Yes.
Because fear not only glues us to our homes, but glues us to the television set. Think back to CNN when CNN became CNN for the first Gulf War. We sat there all day in school watching those incredible video of what we were doing out of Kuwait to free Kuwait and to get into Iraq and what we were doing with our planes. We're in school. My freshman year of high school, we weren't studying. This was civics class. We sat there watching television. The more the media can keep us glued to our television, the better they are. And the problem is we need them.
Right.
Because we need them to be preaching truth. We need them to be enlightening us as to things we don't know about. But I'm to the point now because I have seen a national media who has tried their best, and I don't care what you think about Trump. Okay, I think he's a buffoon sometimes as well. But no matter what you think about him, you cannot tell me the national media has not desperately tried, that the Democrats have not desperately tried to get rid of him under any circumstances whatsoever. Nothing he does is right. Nothing he does is right, according to them. And the national media has played right along with it, not just from the television stations, but the Washington Post. Their attempt to take this president out to the point where they are willing to say anything he does is wrong and criticize anything he does, all you have to do is sit there and say, guys, if you wouldn't cry wolf so many times, I'd be more apt to believe you when I sit there and think, yeah, this was a mistake by our president. But because you always complain, because you always criticize everything he does, I can't believe you. I can't believe a single thing you say, and that's going to hurt our country in the long run, no matter who's in office.
I totally agree. And you know, the facts are there to back you up on how the mainstream media has treated this. And you're right. It does spill over to both sides, because what happens is, when one side goes extreme, the other side goes extreme the other way.
Yep.
And it's what they are profiting off of is division, fear, and tribalism. And so we drive people instead of just – gone are the days, you know, you mentioned the Gulf War. I remember watching – we set up – my dad and I set up all night watching CNN. You know, the days, those days, you trusted Bernard Shaw, Wolf Blitzer. Yep. I don't know what's happened to him. He's no longer trustworthy, but at the time he was. Christian Amanpour, same thing. You know, these were people that were they're hiding under desks in hotels as bombs are going off, giving us the story of what's happening. Now they sit behind their anchor desks and try to undermine a president of the United States. It's unbelievable the change.
Well, let's think about the other way too, Leland, just because everyone knows you and I, right? I know they know you're a conservative. Everyone should know that I'm a conservative. But let's look at our own. I mean, I don't trust Sean Hannity.
Right. Oh, not at all.
I don't trust Sean Hannity at all. Right. I don't trust anything he says, any take he has. I do not trust him. And all he does is go the opposite and just proclaim about how everything Trump's doing is correct. I'm sorry. There is room for those of us who, whether we're conservative or liberal, whether we're Democrat or Republican, to be able to look at both sides and say wrong, wrong, right, right.
Right.
And say, you know what? No matter who's in the office, no matter who wins this next election, okay? I am not, I don't want to be, nor will I be, one of those people that says, oh, well, they, if they're Democrat, everything they do is wrong. And if they're Republican, everything they do is right. I can't be that way because that makes me ill-informed, ignorant, and dumb.
Right. Yeah. That's the big disservice that's happening here is that journalism, as we know it, is dead. I remember I started out in the newsroom, and I was the only conservative in the newsroom that I worked in. And my liberal boss, who's a great friend, came over to me one day, and he was training me at the time. And he said, listen, you know, he said, you can never not be biased. You're a conservative. That's your worldview. I'm a liberal. That's my worldview. What you must be, and this is what he said to me. He said, what you must be to be a journalist is to be fair. And that stuck with me because we all see it. You know, I don't expect Fox News to be anything, but from the conservative point of view, I get that.
Right.
I get that CNN is from the liberal point of view, but the fairness is gone. From both networks.
Right.
The
right.
fairness, the telling both sides, the bringing all of the information, the concern about holding accountable based on all of the information available is gone.
But isn't that in itself is journalism, correct?
Yes.
Journalism is what we need where we have someone who says, here are the facts, you decide.
Yeah. We absolutely must hold Trump accountable.
We should.
But to your point, how do we know what's accountability and what's a made up fact? Yeah.
That is my problem. How do I know who to believe? How do I know who is simply uttering facts and who is deviating from the facts to sway someone to their line of thinking?
Yeah, I totally agree.
You're right. And you're exactly right, Leland. It's on both sides of the aisle. It's both groups because as soon as one group becomes unfair, okay, let's say it and to use a war term, goes nuclear, the other group's going to go nuclear. Mm-hmm. And my problem is, my worry is, how do we get back to standard ammunition? How do we get back to someone? How do we get back? I mean, honestly, how do we get back to someone who's just going to say, you know what? My job as a journalist is simply to report the facts.
Right. And go where they take me.
Yeah. And even if I'm biased, my job is to report the facts.
Yeah.
Now we're to the point where we've got, you know, it looks like we have a corrupt justice system.
Right.
Right. A corrupt FBI. I mean, no one else. I mean, that's not a Trump problem. That's not an Obama problem. That is the media's problem.
Yeah.
Because they're the ones that have caused it.
I just spoke with Senator Rand Paul yesterday. We talked about the FISA reform and the fact that there's a secret court that can spy on Americans and in fact did in the presidential election. And in this particular case, and one of the things that Senator Rand Paul said was, he said, I want the Democrats to understand that this power can be turned on them eventually. And that's where they need to put themselves in the shoes of what, you know, for a second of what they did to President Trump. Because once the Republicans get those levels of power, there are Republicans who love those levers of power as much as the Democrats do, and they will use it on them. And so this abuse of the system through all of that is unhealthy for our country as a whole. And the media has just gleefully here's the thing. I remember a time when I, as a sort of libertarian leaning conservative, stood shoulder to shoulder with my Democrat friends on civil liberties, like the right to not be spied upon, because the FBI spied upon Martin Luther King. They blackmailed Martin Luther King. They looked at people's color of their skin and suspected them of things they weren't doing. That happened in the 1950s and 60s. It's back again. In the 50s and 60s, it was the left that was fighting it, rightfully so. Now the left is cheering it on through their media mouthpiece. Yeah. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got to that from toilet paper, but, you know.
Well, I'll tell you how we got to that, because the bottom line is those things are not uncovered, nor are they reported accurately on by the national media.
Right.
And again, I've said this for years. My worry and my problem is not, as a conservative, is not the Democrats. Because there are many things that my Democratic friends and those that are elected, I can get behind. There are.
Yeah.
My problem is I don't know what's what, because the national media will not do their job.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, Leland, the moment you start to criticize the national media or anyone in media that I've seen, they instantly get defensive.
Oh, yes.
Here's the thing. If you want to criticize my faith, okay, or the way people that who believe what I believe in the past have acted, I'm not necessarily going to defend it.
Right.
I mean, there are many things when it comes to how Christians have behaved in the past or things that people have done under the auspices of Christianity.
Right.
There are many things that I can look at in the church and say, look, the last thing I want to do, if I truly believe in my faith, the last thing I want to do is let my faith be corrupted by things and not point it out and not hold people accountable.
It's a matter of intellectual honesty, right? I mean,
but then also a matter of what you say you believe in.
Yeah, but that's the point. If you're intellectually honest, you can see where your side goes wrong, and you can clearly point it out, and you're not defensive about it when your side goes wrong.
Because, well, you know what? If you don't, to me, it almost comes down to this. If you struggle to believe, if you're lacking faith, and I'm not just talking about faith, I'm talking about whatever it is you believe in.
Right.
If you struggle to believe in it and all you want to be is right, right?
Right.
Then, you know what? You will defend your belief or your faith or your media. You will defend it to within an inch of its life, and you will not be swayed anyway. If you'd rather, it's just, you know what, let's be honest. Here's something we did that was probably a mistake. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's something we need to fix. That's what people – let me use a basketball analogy, okay? This is the whole point of being coached, is that you've got 13 guys that practice every day, and do you have a coach that comes in every day and says, hey, guys, we look good. And you know what? I'm thrilled about this year. This is what we're gonna be a great team. Is
right.
that the point of coaching, or is the point of coaching to come in and say, guys, y'all suck at everything, and we're going to fix it? That's how you get national championship teams, and that's how you fit entities like the media. You have somebody come in and be self-critical and say, we have lost the edge of what we do. We have lost our moorings. We have lost what we are supposed to truly be. We have taken sides, and we are ruining our country as a result of it.
Yeah, yeah. And look, I can't disagree with you. We got that's a great monologue. Just to bring it back to toilet paper. I do want to go over a couple things here with people. this is why we have these conversations, though, and it's important, because what you and I have just gone through is the sort of the root cause of the disease in our society. You know what I mean? And that's why people are running out buying toilet paper pointlessly. I posted on Twitter last night. I said this. I had a video of two women fighting over one package of toilet paper, and I said, this is the reason why the space aliens bypassed our planet and gave the world-changing technology to someone else.
Yeah.
Just remember that this virus is – it's basically a little bit worse than the flu. For most people, it won't be as bad as the flu. Keep your grandparents home and away from crowds. Make sure you have a little bit of supply in case you end up having to self-quarantine, and live your life. Wash your hands.
Yeah.
Get some. I got a hand sanitizer in both my cars, so when I get in from the store or wherever I've been out, if I've touched anything, I just run that hand sanitizer over my hands. Have some hand sanitizer in each of your cars. Wash your hands.
Cover your cough.
Cover your cough, and stay away. If you see somebody that visibly looks sick, go around them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no reason to panic.
Honestly, Leland, I think the bottom line, and this is what I heard from all of my friends that I talked to, is look, just use standard sanitation precautions, right?
Yes.
So basically, everything you just said, everything that we would tell anyone when we tell kids in first grade, during the start of the school season, the worry, the flu is always a worry. It is every year. So tell kids at the beginning of the season, they teach them, wash your hands, cover your cough, right? Keep your hands out of your mouth. There are certain things that you can do that this virus is no different from most.
Right. right.
that just using standard hand washing and being careful will protect you from.
My favorite social.
I'm not sure what the toilet paper is doing or how it's
it makes us feel soft and Charmin-y.
Well, that's the problem, because let me finish my story by telling you this.
Okay.
There wound up being 6 packages of toilet paper. And this is what I found funny, is all that was left is it wasn't the good stuff, Leland. It was the cheap stuff. 60 cents for 4 rolls. 60 cents for 4 rolls of TP, and there were 6 of them left. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, so we're storing up toilet paper, but not the bad stuff.
The
we're
good stuff.
Sure we get that good stuff.
That's right.
Because if we're going to be holed up in our home, we're not really after being well. We're after being comfortable.
Well, just let me tell you one funny story, okay? So about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago, I saw a news report that in China, toilet paper was disappearing from the shelves. I went down to the local store. I noticed that toilet paper was on sale. My wife and I are borderline preppers anyway, not because we think there's any apocalypse coming, but we just tend to store up stuff for you know, a rainy day.
Well,
we just do.
You all have a family. You've got dogs.
Yeah. So we've always got – my wife has this thing about the good toilet paper, and whenever it goes on sale, we buy like tons of it, and we store it up. So I went to the store. I looked. It was on sale. This was before any of this happened, but I had seen one news report, and I said, I better go get some. I bought like 6 or 8 big, huge mega packs of the really good stuff. I brought it home, put it in the closet. It's all stored up. The next day, Cameron – the next day was when the panic hit. So I was ahead of the curve on the TP.
Yeah,
so if you need a good
problem.
If you need a roll of good TP.
Unbelievable.
I got your back.
You going to ship it to me?
I'm going to pay.
Listen,
I'm going
to
charge you $47.99.
You need to ship it, because what you need to do is you need to go out and support some local businesses as well.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing right now. I'm out supporting. I'm getting
yes.
ready to have lunch with a friend.
You know,
I'm supporting
okay.
local business.
This is great. Actually, this is the best thing we can say in this podcast. I'm glad you brought that up. The people that are going to get hurt in this media ginned up crisis are going to be small businesses, because people
yep.
are staying away from them. I'm going to
That's
do.
Right.
I'm going to do exactly what you did today. Because of what you just said, I'm going out and finding a small local business, and I'm going to patronize them and give them some of my money, because I don't want them to be hurt by this ridiculousness. That's
Look,
a great
I
remember idea.
When the stock market crashed in 2008, I remember talking to a bunch of my buddies in financial management, and they had a whole bunch of very sweet elderly people. It just turned out a lot of them were elderly. Call them, because, and I'm trying to think if this was 2008. It may have been. It may have been before that. Maybe no, I think it was 2008. But anyway, they were concerned about the stock market crash or the depression or whatever we called the recession, I guess, in 2008.
Yeah.
And so they called my friends and they said, how can we help? Now, these are elderly people, you know, who just want to help make sure the stock market doesn't drop, right? They want to help support America's economy. And what my friends who were in financial management could have said, oh, well, yes, you know, send us your money and we'll invest it for you. No, here's what they said. Go to Walmart.
Yeah.
Go to your local store and buy something.
Yeah.
That's how you help your economy. You're not going to be able to make a change, an enormous change as a singular person, but you can go help your local economy, which is what's going to matter to a lot of us. Go support your local businesses.
Go
somewhere and buy a meal.
Yeah. If every one of the thousands of people who listen to this podcast will go out and buy a meal at a local restaurant, not a chain, but a local restaurant.
Right.
Or go to a local craft shop or a local
go
store.
Buy
something.
Not even that. Go buy some gas. Go fill up. I mean,
yeah.
Part of it, too, is going to be the travel. Even travel
yeah.
industry, if it keeps getting – if people keep panicking, it's going to take a hit. You know, and look, just go support businesses.
Yeah.
Do it. Just, how about this? Live your life on some level the way you would always live it.
Yeah.
Wash your hands more. Cover your cough more. But just live your life.
Yeah. Totally agree. Great stuff. Cameron, always good, always fun. I'm going to send you a roll of TP because I don't want
Thank
you to have to use
that.
The cheap
I may
stuff.
I've been here in a while.
All right. Thanks to Cameron Mills, our co-executive producer and co-host. And of course, the Dynamics Productions, Neil Kesterson at dxaudio.com for his help with production on this program. I am Leland Conway. You can follow us on Twitter at Zone Disruption and at Leland Conway. Also on Instagram at Great Lelando and at The Disruption Zone. If you want to help us out, share this podcast. Support this podcast by sending it to your friends. Subscribe on iTunes or Apple Play, as well as Google Play. Apple Podcasts and Google Play. We're also on Spreaker. Go to Spreaker.com and wherever podcasts are found. Thanks for listening to The Disruption Zone.